GreatSuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn how to feed again today. And we ask that you visit us again. Let no one return back the same way. Let this be a wake-up call. Let it be a transfusion of your spirit into everyone that will help us to achieve the good success that others have achieved in time past without soiling their righteousness. Let it be, Father, in Jesus Christ's mighty name we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains the secret that triggers good success divinely, or that divine secret that triggers good success in life and in every area of life. So, the topic we are looking at is going to reveal to us how the other people in the Old Testament, New Testament, how they were able to have their kind of success, and they were able to replay it over and over again. Last week, the topic was the law of exposure, that is the secret weapon for outsmarting your mates, your peers, your colleagues, how to go ahead of them. And we understood the power of exposure. When you expose yourself to extra knowledge, to the things of the spirit, then you have the edge, the advantage to be able to go above other people. Then today, we are looking at that secret that was able to distinguish a lot of people out in time past. And we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptural characters, how these people were able to stand out, what made them different from other people, what could we see in the lives of all these people, what is common to all of them, what made them different from the other people. We're going to read some scriptures. Job 13:15, it says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him." That is Job talking, that even if God is the one killing him, he will still go ahead to trust God. Then Esther 4:16 talks about Esther, who told his uncle that he should go and gather all the people. Paraphrasing now, gather all the people, they should pray, they should fast for 3 days, night or day, that nobody should eat for 3 days, night and day, that they will also fast. He said, "If I perish, I perish. I'm going to take a step that is not consistent with the loss of the land. But just because I love God, because of my people, if I perish, I don't care, let me perish." Then Daniel 3:17-18, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going ahead to say, "See, even if our God is not going to deliver us," said, "our God is able, we know he's able, but even if he's not willing to deliver us, we still don't care. We have made a non-conditional agreement with our God that we are not going to bow to other gods. So if you want to make yourself God, we don't care. If you're going to kill us, we don't care. But we have made a decision not to ever go back." So we have some questions we are looking at today. Number one is, do you know in whom you have believed? Many of us believe the things that God can do. We believe the prophets of God. We believe our blessings. We believe the things we see. But there are people who don't believe and know the God in whom they have believed. They don't know God. They believe God, but they don't know him. And it's actually very difficult to believe the person you have not known. So the question is, do you know in whom you have believed? Do you know the person you have believed? Do you know God that you have believed? Paul said that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul was the one who wrote like 2/3 of the New Testament. But he was still saying that I may know him. Then the second question today is, are you confident in God? If things don't go your way, are you confident? Are you going to change your ways? Are you going to start saying some other things? Are you going to continue saying the things you've always said about you believing in God and trusting him, even if circumstances have changed and do not go the way you think they should go? Enough of all this baby Christianity and rise and fall Christianity, that when things don't go the way people want it to go, they start cursing God in quotes. They start saying, "God, do you even exist?" They start doubting the existence of God. They start doubting the power of God. They start doubting the things that God can do. They start doubting the word of God. So today, God is challenging you and I to question ourselves again. It's actually good for you to question yourself. Sometimes you may need to sit down and ask genuinely, do I really believe God? If this and this should happen to me, will I doubt God? Do I believe God? Is your faith like the weather? You know, the weather changes. I've seen a normal weather, hot one day. The second day, it was going like several degrees behind what it was the other day. Is your faith like the weather that changes based on circumstances of life? They call it the vicissitudes of life. Is your faith changing like that? Do you really know the God in whom you have believed? Do you know that God? Are you sure? Are you confident? Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this was death facing them. Do you know what fire is like? Maybe you have put your hand on any hot thing before and it burns you a little. But this time around, it's a furnace. I've done artworks before and I've put clay pots inside fire. When you talk about a furnace, it is one of the highest height of temperature you can talk about. That was the kind of fire they set up for them. But these people did not look at the fire. They were looking at their God. So the question for you and I today is, do you know the God whom you believed? Do you have deep confidence that God is able? Yes, it's easy to believe God is able, but do you know He's willing? That's the other part where many people fail. Do you believe, do you have confidence that God is able and is also willing to do what He said He will do? That even if you have not seen it, and it looks as if He is not doing it, you still say, God, I'm not following you because of the things you will do. I'm following you because of who you are. What is your stand with God? I've seen Christians, I've been there also. Many of us have been there, but it's time for us to turn a new leaf. Don't follow God like a thermometer that changes based on the temperature. Follow God with your heart set that no, my mind is there. Remember when we talked about a made-up mind, the power of a made-up mind, the mindset of winners. Your mind is set that, see, no matter what happens, even if I don't understand, I will still trust Him. That was what Job did. He said, see, even if God is the one who is killing me, I will still trust Him. I'm not going to curse Him. I'm not going to doubt Him. May we receive that grace in Jesus' name. What are the terms of your followership of God? Is it conditional? Is it only when things are rosy or when things are going the way you think they should go? The moment they change, you start doubting. You start thinking of alternatives. That should not be you. That should not be me. So we want to look at the lives of people in the Bible who had good success, that we can call their success good. Remember our definition of good success. That success is good if the outcome of that success pleases God. That by the time you have that success, God is still pleased with you. You are still in God. And other people are not complaining because of your success. I'm not saying there won't be persecutors and people who say negative things. I'm talking about you have not hurt other people because you are succeeding. That is good success. So what are the things that endeared the patriarchs of old to God? We're going to go as slow as possible and I pray God helps us in Jesus' name. Number one that we are looking at today, they were people who were quick to repent. They were not people who did not sin. They were just people who were very quick to repent. They could say, God, I know I sinned. Forgive me. Forgive me, God. They are quick to repent. They are not going to explain all the wrong things they have done. They are not going to explain their mistakes. They are not going to explain their trespasses and be giving excuses to God why they sinned. No. They are going to say, God, I'm really sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm so sorry. I know I sinned. Forgive me. Those are the kind of people that are the kind of good success they had in the scriptures. And we're talking about people who had really good success that was success to believers and unbelievers alike. For example, see David in the Bible. Psalm 51 is an account of David confessing his sins to God. He was saying, God, I'm sorry for all the things I did. I'm sorry. He was even asking God to renew a right spirit within him so that he could not do those things again. Nehemiah in the Bible was quick to confess even the sins of others. He says, see, perhaps Nehemiah has even been walking right with God because his heart has been for God. But he says, see, me and my father's house, we have sinned. That was Nehemiah. He says, see, God, we have sinned. I'm not counting myself out. I am putting myself also in line. We just need your mercy. People who had good success. See, Nehemiah built the wall of his city in 52 days. This was manual labor. These people were the people who were building with one hand, holding their sword with the other, ready to fight at the same time. They were being distracted, but they were still working. they were quick to repent. The people who are the kind of good success you and I are looking for, they are people who are quick to repent. Kenneth Hagin told a story about two families in a church he pastored. He said there was this family, they were just like baby Christians. They will fall and rise today. They can just disappear from church and come back. Is it right to do that? Of course not. But I was just saying that these people, if they find their way back to church, they will quickly run out and say, God, we are sorry. They will repent quickly. Guess what? As they are repenting, they are getting healed. They are getting their miracles. God was attending to them quickly. Except, but there is another family. This family were always consistent in church. They were religious. They were coming. But they are the people who will not forgive others. We are going to talk about that soon. They were not quick to repent of their sins. And yet, they were not getting divine healing and health. So, it is connected. Quick repentance is connected to good success. If you are not quick to repent, if you have sinned, the person will stay in a lot of failure. The person will be failing. Demons will be attacking the person over and over again. But that will not be your portion. That will not be my portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what is the other thing that made the people of old have good success? What is the other thing? The other point is that they were people who upheld righteousness and feared God. They feared God. They were not willing to sin against God. They were not willing to do anything against God. They just wanted to please Him. Those are the kind of people that got those good success in scriptures. What are the examples of these people? Joseph. We knew Joseph was not ready to sleep with the wife of Potiphar. He was willing instead to go to prison instead of sinning against God. He said, no, I fear God. I will not do this to sin against God. So, and guess what? Joseph is the same kind of person that became a prime minister from prison straight to being prime minister. In a day, within 24 hours, it happened. He feared God. He upheld righteousness. Job in the Bible, even though the things were happening against him, Job was walking in righteousness, doing things to please God. But God permitted the devil to oppress him for a period of time. But Job did not change his mind. He stood by his righteousness. In fact, God himself said about Job that he is a righteous man. So, what are the characteristics of people who had the good success in the Bible that were able to have that kind of good success we are talking about? Job. Job was rich. Rich in everything, super wealthy. In fact, the Bible described him as the richest in all the East, whatever the East meant then. Definitely not talking about one town or two towns. Great region, or maybe he was talking about a continent or something, but he was the richest. But he stood by his righteousness. The good success we are talking about is the kind of success that still lets you walk in righteousness. If because you're having success and having money, you are losing righteousness, it's because you don't like righteousness in the first place. May that grace be released to you and I to stay in righteousness in Jesus' name. What other kind of people are we talking about here? An example, Daniel. Daniel will stay by righteousness. Daniel said, see, we decide to eat normal food, uninteresting food. Some people said beans. Yes, lentils. He said, no, we will stay with this kind of food. It's not interesting, but we'll stay with it just to be able to please God. We are not going to eat what everybody else is eating, the things sacrificed to idols. We're not just going to be drinking and whining and wasting away. No, we are going to stay with righteousness and please God. That's talking about sacrifice, about fasting. Daniel was successful even in government. Every government, one king was going, another was coming, but they retained him. Why? There was nobody to replace him. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And we know that wisdom is one of the major things that lead to success. So if you and I want to walk in success, we walk in the fear of God that leads to wisdom, and wisdom will give us that success. What is the other point? Genuine care for others. Those people who had good success in the Bible were people who had genuine care for other people. They were not just thinking about their own things. At their level, whatever level they were at, they were still thinking about other people. There is nobody that God blessed in the Bible that was not someone who cared about other people. They had so much care for other people. For example, Abraham. Abraham was looking for a child, trusting God for a child. And he had visitors passing by. And he ran to them. He came, said, come. I know you have been working for a long time. Come and stay with us today. He cared for them. His nephews sinned against him. He took the good part of the land and walked away on him. He was the one that brought him to that place. But he was not humble enough to let Abraham choose. Abraham says, "You go ahead, choose the good part." But when Lot was suffering, was attacked, guess what? Abraham did not leave him alone. Abraham took people to go and rescue him. Some other people have said, "Ah, thank God. Finally, Nemesis has caught up with you. I brought you to come and taste of my goodness. You took over." But no, Abraham cared genuinely for him. Guess when Abraham was intervening for the city that Lot was in and was saying, "Are there 10 people in that city? There must be 10 righteous people. Will you deliver them because of 10? Will you deliver them because of 20? Because of 50? Abraham cared about other people. What about David? I want us to dwell a little on David. David had enough problems in his life. I mean, so much problem. Guess what? The president, the king of a whole country, was after one man, David. Why? Because he was jealous. That's like one of the greatest problems anybody can have in the world. For all the armies of a whole country running after you to come and kill you, just one man. And guess what? David had all these problems. But he was thinking about other people. He met some people that had some problems. He felt, I have some problems in my life. All the national armies were after me. But no, I can still help these people. He said he gathered people, rascals, people who had no future, no future ambition. They were just going from one place to the other. They had no vision for their lives. There was nothing they could see about their future. But David could see a future in them. He gathered them together, made generals out of them. Guess what? As David was helping God to make them, God was making David, was destroying his enemies, didn't allow his enemies to touch him. So if you want to have this good success we are talking about, you must be someone who really cares about other people. Yes, someone will say, "See, I need so much money in my life," but you still have a little. Out of that little, somebody can still be blessed through the little you think you have. It's a little to you, but it's much to other people. When you check all the things you have, somebody who has a car is saying, "But the car I have is very small." But somebody doesn't have a car. You can still use your car to take somebody to work on your way to work. Maybe you know somebody who works close to your place of work around your house. You can tell him, "Will you join me? Let me be taking you to work." That's how to help someone. Now, someone else says, "All I have in my account is 10,000. Somebody doesn't have anything. His account is minus. If any money should enter into it, it will be debited. You can still be a blessing. Somebody says, "All I have is 1,000. But somebody doesn't even have 100. Somebody says, "All I have is Gary and Granite." Somebody doesn't have Granite, he doesn't have Gary. You can still share. God wants us to care for other people, genuine care for other people. See Joseph in the prison. He was in prison with other people. They were in the same situation. But Joseph was still caring about them. What's happened to you? Why are you not happy? Thinking about other people when he had enough of his own problems. See Solomon also. Solomon in the Bible, what prompted him to ask for wisdom? It wasn't about himself. He said, "God, these your people, they are so massive." He has seen David undo things. He has seen how David dealt with a lot of problems. He said, "These people are full of troubles. They can bring up all kinds of things." He said, "God, I want wisdom to undo them. I want to be able to see these people prosper in my time." That was what was in his mind. And guess what? God gave him wisdom to undo these people. And because every time you have wisdom, you also have blessings. Guess what? He also had blessings. I was reading today. Solomon's wealth has been checked, has been estimated to be around 2.2 to 2.3 trillion. I mean, $3 trillion. US dollars. That's how rich Solomon was, just from the art he had for God's people. Then, I think we are going to stop here today in this last part. We still have other points. I think we'll push it to next week. What are the characteristics of these people we've looked at? They were quick to repent. These are people who are quick to repent. When they sin against God, they were quick to repent. That was what distinguished David from Saul. David committed more offenses than Saul. You and I have done worse than what Saul did. But because Saul would not repent, David repented, even when he killed somebody. In the Bible, Ahab was considered one of the worst kings in Israel. He repented, God forgave him. So we looked at people who are quick to repent. Then number two, there are people who uphold righteousness and feared God. If you and I can fear God and uphold righteousness, we see the same order of success come into our lives. Then also, what are the characteristics of these people? They are genuine care for other people. They were not just thinking about themselves. You cannot be a blessing to others and God will leave you behind. It's not possible. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the life of other people. At your own level, where you are now, others can still be blessed through you. Then, where we're going to stop today, they are sacrificial givers. They are people who are sacrificial in their giving. They don't have enough, but they are willing to be a blessing to other people. For example, Abraham, we've talked about him, he gave to strangers. He was willing to give to strangers. And as he was doing that, he was reminding God of the blessing God promised him. What other person are we talking about? David. He gave almost all he had to build the temple for God. He first gave himself to God. He gave his heart to God. That's why the Bible called him a man after his own heart. And that's where the topic came from today. You must be a man after God's heart. Because if you are not after God's heart, you can't give your resources. You can't be a blessing to other people. So, if you want to have this good success we are talking about, you must be a sacrificial giver to other people, to yourself. We talked about Solomon too. Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings to God. Why? Because he was a sacrificial giver. His father was a sacrificial giver. He also became a sacrificial giver. And none of them ended up as paupers. David was able to give out of his own personal treasure more than what all the elders of Israel gave. That means he was richer than almost all the whole of Israel. If you and I want to have that good success, that blessing you are expecting, that favor you are expecting, you must be a sacrificial giver. Yes, you are busy with your time. You must be able to sacrifice your time to be a blessing to someone else. The rich fool in the Bible was killed because he was not willing to sacrifice anything. He was not willing to give. He was not willing to sacrifice or do anything for other people. It was just all about him and himself. Me and myself. That was what he was thinking about. He didn't even mention his children. He didn't mention his family. Maybe he didn't even have a wife or something. If he had, he didn't think about him. He said, I have enough. Let me just relax and enjoy. That is the easiest way to die. If you and I want to avoid such a very negative ending, we must be sacrificial givers. So I'm going to run through everything we said again today. For those who are just joining, we have some questions. Number one, do you know whom you have believed? Because that is where it all begins. If you don't know the God whom you believe, then you're going to miss out of all these things we are talking about. You're not going to repent because you don't even know the God you believe. You don't know he's a fearful God. You don't know he's a God who wants to bless people. You're going to miss out of all these things. Number two, are you confident in God? Like we said earlier, we have to get to a place that you and I will not begin to doubt God on every negative thing that happens. Some people, you lose your job, you want to stop going to church. That God does not care about me. No, it doesn't happen that way. Number one, you have to settle that this God is my God. This is unconditional. No matter what happens, you will be my God. I'm going to follow you. You are not following him because of the things he wants to give. Of course, he's going to give you a lot of things. Of course, he's going to be a blessing to you. But you are not following him because of those things. And like we said, do you have confidence that God is able and willing? God is able and willing to do what he has said he will do. Not what you think he should do. What he said he will do. Then, what are the terms of your followership of God? Is it conditional? Is it only when things are rosy? Is it only when things are nice? No, it should be unconditional. And I pray that as we begin to reflect on all these things today, we will all be blessed and enjoy the blessings that God has promised us in Jesus' name. And if you have any question based on the topic today, let's take questions first. Do we have any question? You can unmute yourself now. If you have any question based on the topic, you can ask a question, or you have a very short comment, please time to do that.
I have a question.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, ma.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening.
Alright, I meant the topic of the actually.
Okay.
Because of network.
Okay.
But my question is, from where I meant the topic, you were talking about people that are quick to repent.
Yes.
Good success.
Yes.
Like David, Solomon. My question is about the Bible passage that said, he that put his hand in a plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom.
Okay.
Does it mean that it does not apply to these people because they know the right path. But one way or the other, they fell back. It's just like backsliding to me. So doesn't mean it does not apply to David and the rest.
Okay. I pray God gives me wisdom to answer. Okay, so let me just try to attend to this. God help me. So I think when the Bible says, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God, it's talking about backsliding. You know, this is the definition of backsliding. Backsliding and committing sins are not the same. Even though backsliding includes committing sins, backsliding is when you intentionally decide to leave God and to intentionally begin to do wrong things. That's like you have a sheep and you have a pig. A pig can wallow in a dirty mud and just be enjoying itself. That's its natural habitat. It enjoys it. But if a sheep should fall into gutter, what does it do? It cries. It begins to cry out that I want to get out. A pig will not cry out that I want to get out. It just enjoys it. So that's the difference between backsliding and when somebody fell into sin. All these other people we talked about, they fell into sin from one state to the other. David fell into the sin of adultery because of his carelessness. It's not like he woke up one day and said, oh, today I'm going to intentionally fall into adultery. He didn't say, I'm going to intentionally start committing adultery. No, he fell. Just like you and I are falling at one time or the other, done things that God did not approve of. That's that one. Then backsliding is when somebody says, see, I have turned my back against God. I want to begin to do the wrong things. He's convicted by the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't listen. For example, David, he did all the things he did. Maybe he was justifying himself somehow. But God sent Nathan the prophet to him. And he said, this and this and this are the things that have happened. When he saw that he was wrong, what did he do? He stripped off his clothes. He was in sackcloth and ashes. He began to repent before God. He began to ask God for forgiveness. That's not a backslidden person. He was just a fallen person. He was trying to rise up again. So when the Bible says, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back, it means that somebody who has decided to become born again, he has confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then he one day decides that, no, I'm not into all this born again thing again. I just want to go back to the world. I want to live my way anyhow. That is the person who has looked back. But for the person who has fallen, it's just like, because we are all working towards perfection, you only sinned and you came back. That's how I can explain that. I hope that helped a little.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, sister. Okay. I hope we've been blessed today. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to learn again at your feet. Be exalted in Jesus' name. And we ask, oh God, that everything we have learned today, we will receive the grace and the spirit that follows the word for us to be able to do those things in Jesus' name. We pray that as we live, we become better people, we will repent quickly. If we find ourselves in any sin, we'll begin to uphold righteousness and the fear of God. We'll care for other people and become sacrificial givers. In Jesus' name. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. See you next week. Please invite others. And God bless you for inviting other people. And be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
The good success.com.